Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 20th of August 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll be hearing how boat manufacturers are all at sea over nanotechnology and how a certain chemist is doing research of biblical proportions by turning water into fuel. This week we'll also hear how researchers in the Netherlands are blowing nano-sized bubbles and how new nanotechnology is helping to stop illegal immigrants from hiding in shipping containers. These stories and many more in this edition of Azo Nano News. Nanovirucides Incorporated announced today that its dengue virus therapeutics program is advancing at an accelerating pace. Dengue fever is gaining a firmer foothold in southern Texas, putting residents at risk for the most dangerous form of the disease, dengue hemorrhagic fever, according to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Doctors and health officials in parts of South Texas should be on the lookout for the disease. The situation is even more acute in Asia, with over 33,000 cases of dengue reported in Vietnam. In addition, Singapore and India are among countries reporting recent outbreaks of dengue. Globally, there are an estimated 50 to 100 million cases of dengue fever every year. A new analysis of byproducts discharged to the environment during production of carbon nanotubes, expected to become the basis of a multi-billion dollar industry in the 21st century, has identified cancer-causing compounds, air pollutants, and other substances of concerns, according to researchers reporting in the 234th National Meeting of the American Chemical Society. Study co-author Desire L. Plata and colleagues describe their work as totally new, noting that past analyses of the environmental impact of the emerging nanomaterials industry have been based on the toxicity of ingredients used in the recipes rather than the actual pollutants formed during CNT manufacture. While expressing concern about the possible health and environmental effects of nanotechnology byproducts, Plata said the new data may be crucial as the nanotechnology industry seeks to avoid the kind of unanticipated health and environmental problems that have accompanied the emergence of other new technologies. Researchers said, for instance, that they foresee developing, in collaboration with the CNT industry, green chemical reactions and filtration systems to substitute for those with potentially hazardous byproducts and other ways of manufacturing carbon nanotubes that minimize potentially adverse impacts. Carbon nanotubes, submicroscopic cylinders of carbon that are thousands of times smaller in diameter than the width of a single human hair, possess characteristics not found in their larger, bulkier counterparts, including enhanced strength and high electrical conductivity. Studies by other scientists have shown that carbon nanotubes, which come in many sizes and shapes, can damage the lungs of mice, but their exact risk to human health remains unknown. Even less is known about the potential effects of the byproducts of nanotube production, the researchers said. Carbon nanotubes are already produced on a small industrial scale, and the researchers plan to measure actual emissions at several industrial sites in the near future to get a clearer picture of real-world pollutant emissions. Yamaha Motor Corporation, USA, today unveiled the world's first line of personal watercraft hulls, decks, and liners manufactured with proprietary nano-engineered material called NanoXL that significantly increases performance by decreasing weight by 25%. Yamaha introduced the NanoXL hulls, decks, and liners on its new SHO and HO wave runners during opening ceremonies of the company's worldwide dealer conference that began last week in Florida, USA. Yamaha utilizes a state-of-the-art, environmentally sound, high-compression molded process to create the personal watercraft hulls, decks, and liners. The investment in this unique process enables the creation and exploitation of a range of new technologies on the cutting edge of engineering. In an effort to reduce weight and increase performance, Yamaha engineers have deployed an exclusive nanotechnology formula in its hull, deck, and liner manufacturing. The result is an important manufacturing achievement. the ability to create hulls, decks and liners that are 25% lighter than before while being significantly stronger. Yamaha's announcement marks the industry's first significant evolution in hull and deck construction in decades and begins a new era of technological advancements aimed at meeting the comfort and performance characteristics demanded by a new generation of boat buyers. Scientists are a step closer to understanding sunshine. A monumental experiment buried deep beneath the mountains of Italy has provided Princeton physicists with a clearer understanding of the sun's heart and of a mysterious class of subatomic particles born there. The researchers, working as part of an international collaboration at the underground Gran Sasso National Laboratory near L'Aquila in Italy, have made the first real-time observation of low-energy solar neutrinos, which are fundamental particles created by nuclear reactions that stream in vast numbers from the sun's core. The scientists' precise measurements of the neutrinos' energy provide long-sought proof of the theory regarding how these neutrinos are produced. In stars the size of our Sun, most solar energy is produced by a complex chain of nuclear reactions that converts hydrogen into helium. Beginning with protons from hydrogen's nucleus, the chain takes one of several routes that all end with the creation of a helium nucleus and the production of sunlight. Steps along two of these routes require the presence of the element beryllium, and physicists have theorized that these steps are responsible for creating about 10% of the Sun's neutrinos. But technological limitations has made the theory difficult to test until now. The Gran Sasso Lab's giant Borexino detector, located more than a kilometre below the Earth's surface, overcame these limitations, permitting the team to observe low-energy neutrinos, which interact extremely rarely with other forms of matter. Scientists have desired a way to detect them because they emerge largely unchanged from their journey through the Sun's interior to the Earth, offering an unsullied glimpse into the processes that forged them. Most particles that emerge from the Sun take so long to escape the interior that they change drastically before scientists can study them. So it's been difficult to prove how the Sun creates energy. Neutrinos provide a key because they escape before they have time to change. The results address other long-standing issues as well. The highly sensitive detector has confirmed theories regarding why previous experiments had found fewer solar neutrinos than expected at high energies, a problem that stemmed from the particles' odd capacity to oscillate from one form to another as they travel through space. While the Sun only produces electron neutrinos, these can change into tau or muon neutrinos, which have proved more difficult to detect. Observing lower energy neutrinos may also help physicists understand other predicted effects of neutrino oscillations that have not yet been tested. In an effort to develop alternative energy sources such as fuel cells and solar fuel from artificial photosynthesis, scientists at the US Department of Energy's Brookhaven National Laboratory are taking a detailed look at electrons, the particles that set almost all chemical processes in motion. Electron transfer plays a vital role in numerous biological processes, including nerve cell communication and converting energy from food into useful forms. It's the initial step in photosynthesis as well, where charges are first separated and the energy is stored for later use, one of the concepts behind energy production using solar cells. Understanding and controlling the movement of electrons through individual molecules also could allow for the development of new technologies such as extremely small circuits, or help scientists find catalysts that give fuel cells a much-needed boost in efficiency and affordability. Three Brookhaven chemists will discuss how these applications are related to the most recent findings at the 234th National Meeting of the American Chemical Society. Platinum is the most efficient metal electrocatalyst for accelerating chemical reactions in fuel cells. However, the reactions caused by the expensive metal are slow, and undesired side reaction often degrade the electrode. In an effort to find an affordable alternative with high activity and stability, Brookhaven chemist Ping Liu and her research group are introducing ruthenium oxide to the electronic system. By carefully forming just one thin layer of platinum on a ruthenium oxide surface, Ping has calculated that the oxidation reduction reaction, the driving force for fuel cells, happens almost as quickly with a pure platinum catalyst, while using much less of the pricey metal and preventing its dissolution. Brookhaven chemist James Muckerman works with a team of researchers to design catalysts inspired by photosynthesis, the natural process by which green plants convert sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide into oxygen and carbohydrates. The goal is to design a bio-inspired system that can produce fuels like methanol or hydrogen directly from carbon dioxide or water, respectively, using renewable solar energy. To replicate one of the important steps in natural photosynthesis, Muckerman uses molecular complexes containing the metal ruthenium as catalysts to drive the conversion of water into oxygen, protons, and electrons. Specifically, Muckerman's group has set out to determine the electronic activity of a catalyst recently developed in Japan. Unlike previous ruthenium catalysts, which have a very short life, this catalyst has quinone ligands attached to each of its ruthenium centres. These electron-accepting molecules appear to make the catalyst very active and stable. The challenge now is to determine exactly how the catalyst works. Scientists at Pacific Northwest National Laboratory have discovered a way to increase the sensitivity of test strips that will enable creation of a portable biosensor that can address a major concern associated with incidents involving chemical or nerve agents, the need to quickly distinguish between individuals who've been exposed and the worried well. The sensor components resemble a pregnancy test strip and a small glucose testing meter. Its development will be discussed by principal investigator Yu Lin at the National Meeting of the American Chemical Society. Every disease has biomarkers, a change in the proteins that announces something's wrong. Lin and his team are creating a nanoparticle label that can increase the ability of a sensor to detect and interpret the message of biomarkers. The researchers are working with an electrical-chemical immunoassay approach. This involves using the antibody of a specific disease, a protein produced in response to an invading bacterium or other foreign substance, to attract the biomarker. Lin found that labelling a second antibody with a nanoparticle amplifies the biomarker's signal. Greater amplification means more precise readings. Lin achieves this by removing the iron from a nanoparticle-sized ball of the protein ferrin, creating an empty cage called apoferritin, which he then loads with another metal such as cadmium. The cadmium-filled cage is attached to one end of the reporting antibody and the immunoreaction product becomes electroactive. Carnegie Mellon University scientists have developed tiny spherical nanogels that uniformly release encapsulated carbohydrate-based drugs. The scientists created the nanogels using atom transfer radical polymerization, or ATRP, which will ultimately enable the nanogels to deliver more drug directly to the target and to dispense the drug in a time-release manner. The nanogels, only 200 nanometers in diameter, possess many unique properties that make them ideal drug delivery tools, according to Daniel Siegwart, a graduate student at Carnegie Mellon. ATRP, a controlled living radical polymerization process, allows chemists to precisely regulate the composition and architecture of the polymers they're creating. Siegwart and colleagues used ATRP in inverse mini-emulsion to make nanogels with a uniform network of cross-linked polymer chains within a spherical nanoparticle. The new nanogels, which are non-toxic and biodegradable, can also accommodate molecules on their surfaces. During nanogel synthesis, the ATRP process allows scientists to incorporate targeting groups on the nanogel surface that can interact with specific receptors, such as those on the surface of a cancer cell. In addition, the nanogels can escape the notice of the body's immune system, thus prolonging circulation time within the bloodstream. Living cells are highly complex synthetic machines. Numerous multi-step reactions run simultaneously side by side and with unbelievable efficiency and specificity. For these mainly enzymic reactions to work so well collectively, nature makes use of a variety of concepts. One of the most important of these is division into compartments. Enzymes are not only separated spatially, but also positioned in specific locations within the cell. Researchers from the Netherlands have now developed an approach to copy this idea. They constructed nanoreactors by controlled positioning of two different enzymes in the central water reservoir or the plastic membrane of synthetic nanoscopic bubbles. In combination with a third enzyme in the surrounding solution, this system has made it possible to run three different enzymic reactions simultaneously without interference in a one-pot reaction. To mimic a cellular environment, the scientists produced nanoscopic bubbles surrounded by a membrane made of a special plastic. Plastic is a block copolymer that is analogous to a lipid, the natural building block of a cell membrane, in its structure with a water-friendly head and a water-repellent tail. In analogy to liposomes, which are made from lipids, these bubbles are called polymersomes. Thanks to nearly limitless possibilities in the production of these plastic membranes, the spectrum of properties displayed by polymersomes can be precisely tailored. The researchers produce their polymersomes such that they let small molecules pass through while forming a barrier to larger ones. This allows enzymes to be trapped inside the polymersomes in the water reservoir while the smaller substrate or product molecules pass through unhindered. Most people think of hydrogen peroxide as a topical germ killer, but this medicine cabinet staple is gaining steam in the medical community as an early indicator of disease in the body. Georgia Institute of Technology and Emory University researchers are the first to create a nanoparticle capable of detecting and imaging trace amounts of hydrogen peroxide in animals. The nanoparticles, thought to be completely non-toxic, could someday be used as a simple all-purpose diagnostic tool to detect the earliest stages of any disease that involves chronic inflammation. Everything from cancer and Alzheimer's to heart disease and arthritis. Hydrogen peroxide is thought to be overproduced by cells at the early stages of most diseases. Because there were previously no imaging techniques available to capture this process in the body, the details of how the hydrogen peroxide is produced and its role in a developing disease must still be determined. The Georgia Tech and Emory nanoparticles may be the key to better understanding the role of hydrogen peroxide in the progression of many diseases and later play an important diagnostic role. The ultimate goal, however, is that the nanoparticles could someday be used as a simple, all-purpose diagnostic tool for most diseases. In the future, the nanoparticle would be injected by needle into a certain area of the body, for instance the heart. If the nanoparticles encountered hydrogen peroxide, they would emit light. Should a doctor see a significant amount of light activity in the area, the doctor would know that the patient may be presenting early signs of a disease in that area of the body. The Georgia Tech and Emory nanoparticles penetrate deep tissue and operate at high wavelength, making them sensitive indicators of the presence of hydrogen peroxide produced by any sort of inflammation. The nanoparticle polymer is made of peroxylate esters. A fluorescent dye, pentosine, is then encapsulated into the polymer. When the nanoparticles bump into hydrogen peroxide, they excite the dye, which then emits photons, or light, that can be detected in a simple photon-counting scan. The goal was to maximize the wavelength of the particles. Wavelength determines the sensitivity in vivo. And if the particle's wavelength is high enough, it can penetrate the skin and display clearly on a scan. The research team started with a nanoparticle that was made of dye and filled with peroxide esters. They later realized that the reverse, a particle made of peroxylate esters and filled with dye, was more effective at imaging hydrogen peroxide. The group will conduct further tests with the nanoparticles to confirm their safety and effectiveness. A new process for adjusting the resistance of semiconductor devices by carpeting a small area of the device with tiny pits, like a yard dug up by demented terriers, may be the key to a new class of magnetic sensors, enabling new, ultra-dense data storage devices. The technique, demonstrated by researchers at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, allows engineers to tailor the electrical resistance of individual layers in a device without changing any other part of the processing or design. The tiny magnetic sensors in modern disk drives are a sandwich of two magnetic layers separated by a thin buffer layer. The layer closest to the disk surface is designed to switch its magnetic polarity quickly in response to the direction of the magnetic bit recorded on the disk under it. The sensor works by measuring the electrical resistance across the magnetic layers, which changes depending on whether the two layers have matching polarities. As manufacturers strive to make disk storage devices smaller and more densely packed with data, the sensors need to shrink as well, but current designs are starting to hit the wall. To meet the size constraints, prototype sensors measure sensor resistance perpendicular to the thin layers, but depending on the buffer material in the sensor, two different types of sensors can be made. Giant magnetoresistance sensors use a low-resistance metal buffer layer and are fast but plagued by very low, difficult-to-detect signals. On the other hand, magnetic tunnel junction sensors use a relatively high-resistance insulating buffer that delivers a strong signal but has a slower response time, too slow to keep up with very high-speed, high-capacity drives. The NIST team has demonstrated the first step, the controlled pockmarking of an insulating layer in a multi-layer structure to adjust its total resistance. The team uses small numbers of highly charged xenon ions that each have enormous potential energies and can blast out surface pits without damaging the substrate. With each ion carrying more than 50,000 electron volts of potential energy, only one impact is needed to create a pit. Multiple hits in the same location are not necessary. Controlling the number of ions provides fine control over the number of pits etched, and hence the resistance of the layer, currently demonstrated over a range of three orders of magnitude. NIST researchers now are working to incorporate these modified layers into working magnetic sensors. The new technique alters only a single step in the fabrication process, an important consideration for future scale-up, and can be applied to any device where it's desirable to fine-tune the resistance of individual layers. Nanoproprietary Incorporated announced that its subsidiary, Applied Nanotech Incorporated, has been awarded an SBIR Phase 2 contract for the continued development of a dual sensor module for human detection from the Homeland Security Advanced Research Program Agency. This two-year contract is for approximately $750,000 and results from the successful completion of the Phase 1 contract for the same project. Applied Nanotech will design, develop and demonstrate a high-reliability, low-cost, low-power chemical sensor with the ability to operate in the harsh shipping environment that is able to detect humans hiding in cargo shipping containers. Humans hiding in shipping containers can be a serious threat to homeland security. A reliable detection system to identify the presence of individuals in cargo shipping containers will reduce this threat. Under this contract, ANI will continue development of a sensor system that will monitor and detect human presence in a shipping container in real time. The sensor detection system will continually monitor for the presence of individuals from the moment that the container is sealed until it's released at its final destination. It's estimated that 9 to 11 million shipping containers enter the US each year and that in excess of 40 million cargo shipping containers are in use worldwide. Additionally, the ANI-developed sensor technology will be adaptable to multiple modes of transportation, such as trucking, air cargo, and rail shipping. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 20th of August 2007. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast, or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.